This message, entitled The Holy Spirit and Your Church, number 3. Especially That You May Prophesy, by Julian Adams. It was recorded at the New Frontiers Together in a Mission Conference 2007 in Brighton.
Well done, everybody. This Friday morning is always renowned for being quite difficult to get to on time, with everyone lugging their cases around and booking out of hotels and things. So it's very, very good that you've been able to be here and to come back for more of the same stuff that you've been having all week. And I think most of you probably have been with us on this journey. And I just want to very quickly, before Julian comes to speak, just remind us what we're doing here. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit and the church, and we kicked off with how important it is to get everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Terry did such an excellent job in talking through the whole process of leading people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you feel not only that that's helped you, and you've come out of that session with the kind of philosophy now, if it moves, lay hands on it. Just kind of like get in there. And seriously, also, if I could just encourage you, because I think this is so important, that we actually find ways, I'm doing this more and more, to actually get hold of a whole crowd of people in our church, in our churches, and train them so that they can lay hands on people as well, because that's the deal of spreading this out. So I want to encourage you not only to get hold of in your own heart what we were taught, but to go now and pass that on to others so that they might do it as well. And then yesterday we were looking very quickly at the whole issue, now having got a community baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can now move in the freedom of the Spirit. We can have our whole congregation moving in the power of the Holy Spirit in terms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we look together at our meetings and the role of the Holy Spirit in our meetings, and how that our meetings, if they're just run really well, but they do not have the dynamic of the invasion of the Holy Spirit, then though they may be well-run meetings, they may not necessarily be meetings that are the kind of meetings you see modeled in the New Testament. And certainly we want to be a biblical people, so we need to follow that model and have it operating in our meetings today. And then when we were planning this track, we really wanted to ask Julian to come in on this final day. Julian, for those of you who don't know, although I guess most of you have been somewhere where he's been, because he's been everywhere in these last 10 months to a year. And I wanted him to come and just specifically center in upon prophecy and word of knowledge. And the reason for that is Scripture does give that emphasis. You remember yesterday we kind of flicked over these verses because we were looking at the other gifts, but it's especially that you may prophesy. And Paul was very keen that we should all prophesy. And of course, there's a connection with the word of knowledge ministry and prophecy. And I wanted Julian to come and really equip us this morning. So Julian, formerly from the Cape Town area of South Africa, and been over here in the UK for these last 10 months, as I say, has been such a tremendous blessing. Not someone who just talks about this subject, but actually makes it happen and sees it work regularly. Julian is not only outstanding in this gift and ministry, but the reason I love him so much is because he's just down to earth and fun, and we've enjoyed together many a cappuccino and just talking about life. And so I want to commend this guy, and no doubt not only this morning will he be bringing teaching on this subject, but we'll get to see some of it in action as well. So let's give Julian a really warm welcome. You're welcome.
Great stuff. I'm really looking forward to this morning. I love speaking on prophecy. I love seeing God touch people by His Spirit. And so I'm really excited. I hope you've come with a real expectation this morning. I often tell people your expectation is God's invitation. And what you expect from God is what you get. We have not because we ask not. And so I encourage you right from the start. I'm probably going to do something a bit dangerous and get us up on our feet and just falling in love with Jesus. Because that's what releases the spirit of prophecy. That's what brings us into an encounter with God. So if you can, won't you stand? Let's just just spend some time just really loving him. You're all leaders here, aren't you? Good. So I don't need to coach you into, nice music playing in the background so you can get into the presence of God. You can go there because you've got free access, the Bible says. And it should be easy for leaders because this is part of our lifestyle, isn't it? So let's press in. Just lift your voices, won't you? Just go ahead and fall in love with him. He's wonderful. We're hungry for you, Lord Jesus. We're hungry for your presence. We long for you in your splendor and your majesty. We're grateful for what you've done up until now, but we want more, Lord. We unashamedly say we want some more. We're so hungry, Lord Jesus. Won't you begin to flood in this place by your Spirit and by your grace, Lord? Won't you begin to come and encounter men and women? Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. Do what only you can do, and that's change the hearts of men and women. Do what only you do so well, and that's glorify Jesus in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Be magnified, Lord. Pour up our strength. Lord Jesus, today we want to say again that it's you we after. It's your presence that we so hungry for. I ask you that there will be a spirit of revelation and of wisdom that would come today. And men and women would not just receive information, but there would be an impartation that would change lives. Father, I pray this morning that it will not be centered around man's ability, but it will be centered around your Spirit and his eagerness to bless us. Father, I ask you that you would come amongst us in your glory. We ask for healings this morning. We ask for signs and wonders this morning. We ask for demonstrations of the power of your Spirit this morning. God, we want to ask you for this so that your Son would be glorified in our midst. And so begin to press in right now, Holy Spirit. Come and touch us. We are hungry for you. I feel in this middle section, just this section over here towards the back, I feel like there's somebody who's had some kind of problem with your neck and mobility in your neck, and there's been a bit of pain associated with it. If that's you, want you quickly lift up your hand, someone with problem in your neck area. There's one over there, some over there. Anyone? There we go. Excellent. Let's just pray for you. See someone at the back behind the green pillar with neck problems. Yeah, okay. There we go. We're going to pray for you. I just saw in this section specifically. Let's go for these folk who have put up their hands. If you see a hand next door, you want you partner with us today. Let's extend faith. Let's trust God that there's going to be healing demonstrated right now. Put your hands on that person. If you're a lady, put your hands on the lady. If you're a man, put your hands on the man. Okay. Let's just pray, and we're going to speak to some neck problems. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command neck pains to be healed right now. We speak mobility into necks right now. And in Jesus' name, we thank you the kingdom of God comes right now in Jesus' name. And we release your anointing and your healing power to flow right now in Jesus' name. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Mobility be restored right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your healing power to begin to flow. Why don't you just begin to move your neck and begin to just see what's happening? Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If pain's lifted, if you felt any a difference, why don't you quickly lift up your hand? Yep, there we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we want you to break in this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you grab your seat? Thank you, Lord. Great. This morning I want to just share very briefly, really. How many of you have done a seminar before on the prophetic or how to hear God's voice? When you lift up your hand, many of you. I've been doing seminars on the prophetic for a long time now. And one of the things I'm really passionate about is moving people from a place of coming to meetings like these. I'm just going to be cheeky for a moment because I'm from South Africa and we are quite rude. moving people from a place like this, from a meeting like this, to being activated in their gift and stepping out in the gift. Because in the church, we've had a lot of information. You can get some really brilliant books, and I want to flag two books specifically. One is Surprised by the Voice of God, and two, Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. They are books that have shaped me more than possibly any other book other than the Bible. They have given me a good foundation in understanding some of the theology around the gifts of the Holy Spirit and power ministry. And they're just a great read. I read both of them at least once a year, and every time I read them, something new pops out. You know, Jack Deere just keeps on giving. It's a great gift to give someone. So I encourage you, go and get it. They're really good. Surprised by the Voice of God, Surprised by the Power of the Spirit by Jack Deere. Very, very good books. But we need to move some people on from simply receiving to stepping out and being activated in their gifts. All right? The world is hungry for an encounter with God. I was just doing a meeting a couple of months ago in Bedford, and we had three young guys, totally unsaved, coming to the meeting, no context for of church before. And things were happening. It was one of those seeker-sensitive meetings where people were falling over, people were encountering God, because seekers want to encounter God. And it was one of those wild meetings, the kind of meetings where you think, if anyone is unsaved, this is going to be really weird for them. Three of these guys come up to me afterwards, and they just look at me going, this is really weird. What is going on here? We're going to just briefly explain what God's doing. It does help when you explain what God's doing in meetings, by the way. And I then said, can I pray for you? One of them looked at me and said, what are you going to do to me? What does pray mean? just didn't know anything, had no context. And began to pray for these three young men, and the Lord began to download some secrets of their hearts to me. And well, one particular guy that was just weeping, I mean, this is blubbing away, this big kind of burly guy just blubbing like a baby. He stops him in the middle and says, dude, are you like a psychic? He just totally had no reference point for this. And I explained to him that the prophetic is all about the source that you're plugged into. I find it fascinating in the book of Exodus that the magicians could do all the miracles that Moses did. I find it fascinating that Moses had to initiate the miracles first, because true power comes from God. The devil counterfeits power. And at the end of the day, it was Moses who had authority. His rod had authority over all the others. And it's about source. It's about being plugged in to the right source. You should never be impressed by power. You need to be impressed by the source of power. And I explained that to him. Anyway, I kind of left the meeting quite angry, really. I felt a real indignation in my heart rise, because the only source or reference for power that this young man had was demonic and counterfeit. And the church is called to be a people who demonstrate God's heart. I was in another meeting in Milton Keynes, where the Lord visited Milton Keynes. And really, it's true. And I love the guy from Milton Keynes. He's loads of fun. One young guy, I told the story yesterday, had a brace on his, or a cast on his wrist. And he was one of those young guys who's just really unimpressed with the meeting. He clearly was not wanting to be there. He was about 19, and his mom obviously had dragged him there. And he's just sitting really unimpressed with a vacant look on his face, arms folded. And when I see that, that's a good opportunity for me to zone in on them. So Dave's arms are folded, so no. So I just thought, well, Lord, let's go for this guy. And began to prophesy over him, and he just began to weep as the Lord began to again give me words of knowledge and prophetic for him, and just reveal his heart, really, for this young man. He just began to weep as God spoke to him. In the midst of that, I prayed for his wrist, because he had had a motorbike accident and damaged it. And he took the cast off. It was one of those strap-on casts. Took it off, and he said, it's like tingling all the way up. Mobility was restored. At the end of the meeting, I made a response for salvation. And I hadn't, you know, I'm not an evangelist. I don't do, you know, 4 points and a poem to get people saved. I just not, you know, I speak on the prophetic, or I teach what I feel God is giving me. And to be honest, there wasn't much gospel content in it, because it was supposed to be a meeting for believers only. And I made a response for salvation in the midst of that. This guy put up his hand immediately. So did his friend, who was very impressed at what God was doing. There is such incredible grace when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are being operated for the unsaved and the saved. And I believe it's so important that we restore and lift the standard of biblical prophetic ministry, so that when people are coming to our meetings, they say, truly God is in this place. We were in a new community church just recently, felt the Lord give me a word of knowledge about a guy who was wanting to commit suicide. At the end, he stood waiting, because there's a long line of people being prayed for, and he said, I'm the guy who was thinking of committing suicide. Just weeping. And he'd responded, put up his hand to respond to the gospel. We prayed for him, and God just touched him. I just thought, this is what it's about. Drawing people into an encounter with Jesus. One of the things that I love about the story of the Samaritan woman is that she goes into a town. She has a reputation. She's known as the woman with five, who's had five husbands. In fact, they're not really her husbands anyway. And she's known as this woman of ill repute, as it were. She goes into this town completely transformed because of an encounter with Jesus, using words of knowledge. And she says this, I met a man who told me everything that I ever did. And the whole town encounters Jesus. Folks, we need a battle. We need to contend for gifts of the Holy Spirit in our meetings in such a way as to glorify God, drawing the unbeliever and bless the church. And so I want to encourage, it's not simply about hearing this morning. There has to come a point where you begin to step out. And for every great success, very often, there's a mistake and a test that goes before it. And the joy of standing up here is not simply in all the prophetic words that God has allowed me to bring that's been accurate, but actually it's been in the mistakes and the falling down and the having to grow and having to deal with pride, having to deal with fear. Because trust me, it's not easy when you've got to get up and prophesy in front of all of you folk. But you know what? When it brings glory to God, it is the most exhilarating and satisfying thing ever. And so I want to encourage you. It's time to begin to get activated. Before I get into just giving some keys on how I flow in the prophetic, how I flow in words of knowledge and prophecy, I want to just lay a little foundation, because actually we're all convinced that God speaks to us, don't we? Great. You cannot be here, you cannot be a leader, you cannot be saved unless you've heard the voice of God. All right? Hearing God's voice is part of your inheritance, and it's part of your spiritual DNA. It was God by the Spirit who came and spoke to you, breathed life into you so that you could respond to this wonderful message of salvation. So hearing God's voice is part of who you are. That's how you came alive. He called you by name. What a privilege, isn't it? What an absolute privilege. And so I want to encourage you, that's what we believe. It should just be part of our natural everyday life. And I certainly hope you heard a call to become a leader before you stepped up for leadership, because without a call, it's not easy to sustain leadership. You need to have a call. The Bible says in Psalm 25, verse 14, in the ESV, it says the friendship, I know in the NIV, I think it says the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. One of the wonderful things about words of knowledge and the prophetic is it takes a glimpse of God's all-seeing nature and brings it right into the reality of where we're at. And it brings an immediacy of the presence of God. It brings an immediacy of the kingdom of God. People know God knows me. He knows my name. He knows where I'm at. And it gives faith to be able to carry on for his purposes. But the reality is that those secrets, those things which have been hidden, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, but God has prepared for those who love him. And it goes on to say, but God has revealed this to us by his Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit searches even the very depths of God. We have an opportunity to begin to search out and begin to grab a hold of and begin to see the very secret things that are hidden in God for people and indeed for ourselves. It is the privilege of every Christian, it is the privilege of every son to have free access into the house of God, into the very holiest of holy place, where you can hear him speak to you concerning other people, concerning your church, and concerning you as an individual. What a great privilege. I thought that was a very good point, personally. What a great privilege we have. We don't have to try and work it up. We don't have to try and pop a blood vessel. We just go straight in. It's right there. You don't have to get intense. You don't have to get weird. You don't have to get all shaky and funny. Just get straight in. It's right there. But the reality is that words of knowledge and the prophetic is simply undergirded by a radical intimacy. Many people, and I said this yesterday, Judas is an incredible picture of some people in the church. They want the kiss of intimacy in the garden without the cost of covenant. When Jesus broke bread and established a new covenant, it was Judas who left first, but he wanted the kiss in the garden. Many in the church want power and recognition without the cost of intimate covenant. If you want the kiss of intimacy, there's a price to pay in just loving him. And you know, it's such a, I don't even think it's a price really, because it just doesn't make sense. We get the best part of the deal. We get to get satisfied in God. We get to encounter him on a daily basis. And as a result, he gets glorified and he entrusts us with things. What a privilege it is to be radically intimate. And one of the things I found in the church is that many do not step out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, do not step out in the power of the Spirit, because they do not understand their sonship. And John 14, I've been stuck in there for a number of weeks now. There is something about knowing that you're a son. And what's happened, Jesus says to the disciples concerning the Holy Spirit, I will not leave you as orphans. And what's happened is we've seen many people in the church come with an orphan spirit where they work really hard for God and they perform for God lest he kick them out the family. The Bible says a son abides forever. And until we come into a place of radical intimacy, me teaching you on words of knowledge and prophecy will be pointless. Because prophecy is all about carrying the very heart, emotion, and affections of God. God's looking for some men and women who would encounter him. So the first thing, it's all about intimacy. The second thing I want to say is that hearing from God is not some cerebral exercise. It is an experiential encounter. When I hear from God, it's not I'm kind of doing a passive thing, going, okay, yes, thanks, and walk out. No, I'm encountering a person. excuse me, a real person. I'm encountering God. I'm encountering who he is. I'm encountering his glory. His voice, the Bible says, speaks of his glory. Psalm 29, when you read that, it's all about encounter. It's all about experience. And so today, folks, I want to say to you, coming to God, spending time with him, asking him for words of knowledge is not simply about a transaction of orders where he says, this is what you need to do, now go and do it. It is a transaction and an encounter of experiencing a person. I love what Jack Gear says in Surprise by the Power of the Spirit. He says, Jesus is not a doctrine, a theology, an abstract principle, a ministry. Oh, is that, what is that? Their cell phone, sorry. Jesus is not a doctrine, a theology, an abstract principle, a ministry, a church, a denomination, an activity, or even a way of life. Jesus is a person, a real person. You see, when we come into hearing the voice of God, we are encountering the wonderful person of Jesus. I was doing we have a thing in South Africa called Summer Camp where we gather 400 people in the Western Cape area, 400 teenagers. Just a wonderful time of God's presence. And I've been part of helping direct that camp for a number of years now. And we kind of normally start the camp off very low-key, build the people up, and right about the middle, so the kind of Wednesday, we'll do a big salvation call because then people are a bit defrosted and they feel a bit happier and they're kind of, you know, getting into the whole camp vibe and friends are cool and so now maybe we can respond. Anyway, it was very different this year. First night, the power of God breaks in. Kids are flying out all over the place. I'm thinking this is amazing. Worship is just electric. God is packing himself into the tent in an amazing way. I mean, it was just incredible. And in the middle, I feel the Lord say to me, you need to make a response for salvation. And I'm just thinking, we haven't even preached the gospel yet. How can we do that? Anyway, I said to my friend Chris Taylor, who was leading the meeting, I said, I feel like we need to make a response for salvation. He gets up and briefly explains what he's about to do. And 28 people, 25 people, I can't remember, responded to the gospel that night. Most of them first timers. Somebody said to me, but you didn't preach the gospel. How did that happen? I said, well, they met with Jesus. It's not a theology. It's not just words on a piece of paper. It's a person. And that radical intimacy allows us opportunity to encounter him and his voice from which we then flow, from which we then step out into the purposes of God. If you don't encounter God privately, it will be very difficult to express him publicly. I just cannot underline this more because for me, the life source of my spirituality is about encountering him. We've had a week of it, folks. And you know what? It's not just for Brighton leaders. It's for every Sunday morning, and indeed it's for every day where you encounter God. There's something about falling in love with him every single day that keeps an open line of communication to his voice. Amen? Now, it's out of this that God speaks to me. Now, we know God speaks in many different ways, and I don't want to cover all of that because I feel like many of you have heard a lot of teaching on the prophetic before. But just to mention some things that I believe are going to become a bit more common in these days. So God speaks to us through impressions, internal, audible voice, just through the audible voice. God speaks to us in many different ways. And I believe there's going to be an increase of God's ways with us. I think it's very important that we understand it's not just about hearing, but it's about seeing. So they're visionary encounters. I believe many are going to have encounters in trances, angelic visitation, encounters, visionary encounters, where you see with an open vision. I was in Clarence once, and as I turned to look up at the mountain, I think I was going into a preach or something, as I turned to look up at the mountain, in a split second with my naked eyes, I could see I just saw angelic hosts lining up. It was just incredible, just completely staggering. Just for a moment, just God just gave me confidence for that meeting. It's very important that we understand God wants to use a variety of ways to speak to us. And one of the ways for me when it comes to words of knowledge and the prophetic is God speaks to me in a physical way. So I'll sometimes get a sympathetic pain. In other words, so if I feel like there's someone with, let's say, a back problem, all of a sudden my back will just start to have a dull ache, and it will be a sign to me that God wants to release healing. Sometimes I'll get, my hand will heat up. Can I just say, I know it's kind of gone over to the Twilight Zone stuff now. And you're all looking at me going like, right. Julian has finally lost it. No. Our bodies are created to experience the power of God. Our bodies are created to encounter God. And so throughout Scripture, you see things like taste and see that the Lord is good. We were getting some meetings where people were literally smelling a fragrance of God in the room. If there's been sexual abuse, for example, I will get an awful smell in my nose when I'm praying for something. It just overwhelms me. Be quite nauseating. Now I know God wants to minister into the area of sexual abuse. You see, we need to learn to create a sensitivity, not just in our spirit, as it were, but in every part of us. God works with us in the wholeness of who we are, spirit, soul, and body. And so these are some of the ways God speaks. And you need to learn to recognize what is the common way that God speaks to you. So you might not get a left hand that heats up. You might get something else, but that's okay. Begin to recognize what God's saying. Some of you, in fact, I bet most of you are impressionable ministers through the place of impression. So you'll walk into a place and you'll just go, something's wrong here. I can feel something's wrong. Or you'll meet someone and when you shake their hand or you hug them, you feel an emotion that just goes through you. What happens is for most of us, we think, oh, that's just me being weird. Now, those are opportunities of God speaking to you, and you need to learn to recognize it, process it, and then if needs be, step on in faith on it. Does that make sense? Because so often, you see, in our Western world thinking, we've become so cerebral, we've become so dominated by our mind and the way we think that we've forgotten there's a whole host of ways that God speaks to us. And I want to say it's going to become increasingly common for many people to encounter God in ways that are very different. We had a young guy who was about 15. I was doing a camp in Bedford, and this young guy, just recently saved, fell out under the power of God. As he did, his eyes opened, and he had an encounter in heaven where he began to see pillars and clouds of smoke. And he came up to me trembling, saying, I think I've just gone crazy. And he began to describe Isaiah chapter 6 with me. God is a speaking God. And it's important that we learn to cultivate and understand the way he speaks to us. And it's not just about impressions. It's not just about hearing. It's about seeing. It's about encountering. All right? For me, the predominant way that God speaks to me is simply through impressions or pictures. Okay, God doesn't do the kind of Sean Connery thing, Julian, this is the Lord speaking. He doesn't do that with me. I don't get this kind of booming lightning bolt that hits me and then all of a sudden I start prophesying. No, God speaks to me generally through impressions. So I'll be in a meeting. In fact, when I come to meetings like this, I don't get any words of knowledge before the meeting. I know for some people they do, and that's great, but I don't. And I think it's because God loves me to be in a place of faith, keeps me weak and dependent on him. And I've grown accustomed to liking that. And so I've had to learn to deal with the fact that I'm under no pressure to perform unless God gives me something. That's just the bottom line. And so you're in a meeting and I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, please give me something. And then God will drop a little impression. Until I step out on that impression in faith, nothing else comes. Nothing else comes. I'm like thinking, you know, I'd love maybe three or four before I preach. It would be great. Then we can, you know, now I've got to step out on what God's given me. There's something about using what you've got and God adding more to it. That's the principle of the talents. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's the bottom line. And so I've learned to kind of deal with that tension. So I'm waiting on God, asking God to speak to me, asking God to give me words in a meeting, little impression. And as I begin to step out on that, it's like a river that begins to flow and gush forth. In fact, the word prophecy in the Hebrew speaks of a bubbling forth. And it actually talks about a bubbling forth of divine emotion. Isn't that incredible? It's about connecting with the emotions of heaven. As I begin to step out in that and begin to flow in that, there's an increase. There's an anointing that begins to come. And then sometimes I'll see screens. So I'll just see videos of the person's life running before my eyes. Other times, it will just be the compassion of God that moves me. And I'll just feel something of God's heart for that person. I want to say, and I'll illustrate this later, just going to do a live example in a moment. But I want to say that it's very simple to feel the heart of God. It's not difficult. And you've got to minister from feeling God's heart. That's what prophecies. I've seen some prophetic people give very accurate prophecies, but the heart of God wasn't revealed. We want God's heart to be revealed. That's what makes the sinner fall down and say, surely God is in this place. I find that I've had to learn that the prophetic needs to be clear. It must be a clear trumpet call. What we've done, and please forgive me for my tongue-in-cheek, is we've had this kind of prophetic word in meetings on a Sunday morning or in a cell group. I see a cow. Yes, it's a big cow in the meadows, chewing grass. Blessed be the word of the Lord. The gift of prophecy does not need the gift of interpretation. Tongues needs that. It needs to be a clear trumpet call. Do you know 1 Timothy, I think 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, I can't remember now. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, I'm going to go right, that we are to fan into flame the gift that God has given us, right? And then immediately after it says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. And very often, when I was a kid, my mom and dad gave me that little scripture. God has not given you a spirit of fear because I was a bit scared of the dark. So I quote that, and I do believe there's an element of that, that God's not giving me fear so I can use that. But actually, that's talking about gifts and using your gifts in that context. And it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and sound mind. The gifts of the Spirit need to be served on a platter of love. It must demonstrate power, and it must be of sound mind. In other words, that word actually means controlled thinking. It must make sense. And for too long, we've kind of had very low-level prophetic words that actually don't make sense. If you want to shape a word that's going to edify and build, it needs to make sense to the hearer. All right? It's very important that we understand the prophetic needs to be very clear. The other thing that I've learned about the prophetic and flowing in the prophetic is that the best place you can minister from is the place of submission. Jesus has a wonderful encounter with the centurion. And the centurion comes up to him and says to him, I am a man under authority. I say go and someone goes. I say come and someone comes. Therefore just say the word and my servant will be healed. I find that very fascinating. He doesn't say I'm a man of authority. He says I'm a man under authority. And one of the things we need to learn in flowing in the prophetic is that if your elder says, please go and sit down, that God is not going to have a speed wobble in heaven because you didn't bring the word. I've seen people walk down an aisle with anger on their face because I've had it saying, not right now. The key is out of submission and submitting to eldership, submitting to godly leadership, God promotes. All right, I want to underline that because so often we can be in a context where we think we've got a right to give the word. No, The only thing we can do is be obedient to God and submit it to eldership. Very important. And you know, when people begin to see submission out of a godly heart, God promotes. I also want to say this, and please forgive me again for being rude. If your elders are saying no all the time, do the maths. Go and ask them, why are you saying no all the time? Is there something with the way I'm presenting it? Is there something wrong with my attitude? Is there something wrong? Because some people can be not so bright. And they don't realize, actually, hold on, you're saying no all the time. If something's wrong here, I need to go and talk to them. I mean that in the nicest way possible, please hear my heart. Because we want to teach people how to prophesy. We don't just want to say no all the time. But there needs to be a real submission. Right. So let's see if there's anything else I want to just quickly cover. Oh, the other thing is radical obedience. Radical intimacy is always followed by radical obedience. You've got to step out in faith. The gift of prophecy is not a gift until you've brought it. People say, I've got the gift of prophecy, and they never prophesy. I've got a word of knowledge gift. The Lord's giving it to me. Well, let's see it. You've got to bring it. Otherwise, it's not a gift. All right. Now, for me, is this helping you, you guys? With me, we're going to kind of wrap it up now because I want to do some practical examples and do some activation. One of the things we need to understand is that the prophetic is very connected to faith. And so in Romans 12, we see, if your gift is prophecy, prophesy in proportion to your faith. And the reason I believe that is as you grow in faith, there is a greater revelation of God's heart. And it gives you an authority then to begin to prophesy into different situations. And it's important that we be a people of faith. I had the privilege of growing up in one of those wild, charismaniac churches. I mean, it was wild. I remember meetings that were just crazy. My mum and dad are sitting over there, and it was just loads of fun going to Rodney Howard Brown meetings and Reinhard Bonnke meetings and Benny Hinn meetings. And I mean, these guys are just crazy. And I love them all. I know they're all weird, but they're great. And the thing I learned about going to those meetings from a young age, one, I got caught with a fascination of the miraculous. I'm not going to settle for boring church. Please, Lord, if what we see now is all we're getting, Jesus can come and rapture me right now. I'm quite happy to go home and be with him. Because there must be more. There must be more. When a church has an influence over a community because the presence and the power of God is there, that's what I'm after. And the second thing is that these guys taught me about faith. We need to learn how to keep on stepping out in faith. Faith requires action. Do you know what faith does? Faith is the difference between hope and faith. Hope is looking to something into the future, thinking, wow, it would be really great if that happens. Faith is taking something out of the future and realizing it in the present. Faith is active. It can never be passive. If you've got passive faith, it's no faith. And faith does not operate in the realm of understanding. Understanding operates in the realm of faith. So we see in Hebrews, it says, by faith we understand. What we try and do in our kind of Western mindset is, let me try and get all, you know, my ducks in a row. Let me make sure I've got this all right, okay? Oh, now I think I can do it. No, the starting point is, help, Lord, here goes. That's faith. And in the prophetic, that's what it requires. It requires faith. It requires stepping up. The more you step out, the greater the degree. The more you're trustworthy with the talent God gives you, the greater the talent he gives you. Lastly, God works with me in three predominant ways. What time do we need to end this?
10:45 is the final. You have to be out of the room.
Great. We've got enough time. Because we'll do some examples now. We've got 45 minutes to go wild. three ways God speaks to me. Through a word of knowledge, through prophecy, and through a word of wisdom. Okay? Now, I'm covering quite a lot. There is a public prophecy that comes which builds up the church. I presume you all know how that works. All you need to do is simply step out and go to an elder and bring it, okay? Word of knowledge is a bit more tricky in that it's about an appropriate time, it's about appropriate context. And again, it's the whole principle of submission involved in that, all right? So I find for me, this is how it works. I get a word of knowledge which opens up, it's a piece of information that I don't know about the person, opens up their heart, the immediacy of God is there. They're kind of thinking, whoa, God's right here, right now. What's going on? And then I bring a prophetic word, which is about God's heart. So I'm looking for the tenderness of heaven. I'm looking for the heart of God. I'm looking for a revelation of God's grace to this person. That's what prophecy is all about. And then a word of wisdom, which for me speaks of an application of divinely revealed truth. That's what the word of wisdom is about. So there's truth that's been revealed. There's God's heart that's been revealed. There's an element of the future that might be revealed. Now how to apply it into my present circumstance. That's how it works for me personally. And so I'm going to do a live example right now. I'm going to ask God for a word of knowledge. Now I want you to know, you need to understand that for me, right now my heart is starting to beat slightly faster because I'm about to step out in faith. All right? I know there's some prophetic people who've got it all together. I don't. All right? I just want to do a little rabbit run quickly. We need some happy prophets, please. Please. We're not looking for, like, you know, the latest weirdo. We're looking for some happy prophets. Prophets are a bit strange. I understand that. I'm a bit strange. It happens. It's okay. But let's be happy. Jesus, the greatest prophet who ever lived, the Bible says of him, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his companions. Put a smile on your face when you prophesy. Prophecy is not always about rebuking. And even if it's rebuking, there's grace that comes. I often tell this example. When I was a kid and I got a smack from my parents, which is biblical, by the way. just to throw that in. My mum would often come with some milk and honey afterwards and give me a glass of milk and honey so I slept well. And you know what? My sin was not remembered. It was forgotten. It's like, well, that's it now. You've got your smack. You've got your punishment. Move on. You're being disciplined. And God works with us like that. We kind of think like we need to just really, you know, shoot our own wounded with the prophetic word because God's given me a right to rebuke the church. Prophecy primarily is about seeing the best. And even if there's rebuking, you come with grace. Because God never rebukes apart from grace. All right? So, one of the things I love about David is that Samuel gets anointed by God to anoint David, and God knew that David was going to sin. I can't fathom that kind of grace. God knew that David was going to sin, and the reason why God chose David was because of his heart, not because of his ability to stay holy. And the prophetic is always about the best. It's never about the worst. So please, let's be happy. Let's be nice prophetic people. Let's be people who love Jesus, love his church. Lone Ranger prophets are not real prophets anyway. Did you hear that? Lone Ranger prophets are not real prophets anyway because the prophet is first given to the church. It's given to the church first. Then it's given to air miles on an aeroplane. All right, so word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, word of wisdom. So I'm really being serious now. I feel quite nervous because I need to now step out and ask God to give me something. I am just quickly going to step up here. I like trying to go for a bit more specific in a bigger crowd because I think if I had to go, see something here with a back problem, all of you put up your hand. All right, and I just want to say it's all right to step out in those kinds of words of knowledge as you're starting now. But I'm starting to think now, Lord, I'm looking for what you want to do. What is the word you want to bring to someone? What do you want to say to someone? I'm looking for God's heart, all right? I wanted to say this. If this word of knowledge makes sense to you, please, I beseech thee by the mercies of heaven, respond. the number of people, and especially in the English culture, who say, you know, that word that you brought about the left eye with the problem, the retina right at the back, and this just really detailed work, I thought that might not have been me, but actually I do have a left eye problem with the retina. I don't understand it. Or they're kind of like, well, we didn't really know God wanted to bless me. God wants to bless you. So if you get a word of knowledge and it makes sense to you, put up your hand. I mean, I was up for it one stage, just getting saved again and again and again, just because I thought, hey, if I'm going to get something from God, I'm going up. Please, can I encourage you, get greedy in this moment. Get greedy for God. I'm up for as much as I can get. I'm a bit of an easy receiver, so I just like more Lord. I'll just take what I can get. Words of knowledge build faith, and when you respond, you bring glory to God. So don't be afraid to do that. See, so I'm going to ask God for a word of knowledge. I'm already, like I said, I'm feeling quite nervous, feeling quite like, oh, how's this going to happen? I'm trying to just get my heart open to God. I'm trying to get my spiritual senses alive. Am I feeling something? This is kind of all the things that go through my mind as I'm thinking about a word of knowledge. Now, I need you to extend faith with me in this room today, okay? Because this is going to be a live example, but it's going to be a life-changing example. We did this earlier at the prophetic seminar. I did a similar exercise, and a woman just got set free from a spirit of death and cancer, and she testified to, literally, she said she's been living in like a cloud, which she hasn't been able to see properly, and that's completely lifted. Just through doing an example, yesterday at Mobile, I saw God break in, just using this example again. So this is not just play, this is going to be the real thing. So I want you to extend faith that God would speak to me very clearly, all right, so there'd be a real clear anointing, because I want to demonstrate this wisely. What I'm going to do, just so you know, you're signing up for, the person who responds to the prophetic word, I'm going to ask you to come to the front, and I'm going to use you as a guinea pig. All right? So, don't worry, I won't embarrass you. So, none of you are going to respond to words of knowledge. But please, won't you just be open to that. Be open to God speaking to you, because he really does want to. Let's just love Jesus. Worship is the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. When we come into a place of worship, God locks open the prophetic. So why don't you just go ahead and just worship him. Tell him you love him. Come, Holy Spirit. We love your presence, Lord Jesus. We love your presence, Lord Jesus. Won't you begin to come and meet with us right now? We do so love you, Lord Jesus. All right. I want to pray for somebody in this section over here. I get the word immigration, and I think you might be thinking about either moving country in some way. You might be somewhere else in the building, okay, but I think you might be somewhere over here. You've been praying about a specific nation just recently. God's been speaking to you about that, and God wants to move you, as it were. If that's you, why don't you quickly slip up your hand? Great. Why don't you come out to the front? Whew! Now I'm feeling relief. So that was a word of knowledge. What's your name, my friend?
Brian.
Brian. That was a word of knowledge, okay? I genuinely am thinking, thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, what you need to understand is the presence of God is not, I know people say, you know, the Holy Spirit is like a dove, and you've got to be all very gentle because he might fly off. The Holy Spirit is also all powerful. And it's all right just to talk to God during these kinds of interchanges. It's all right to kind of figure out what is God saying, what's happening. You don't have to feel like you're going to lose the presence, all right? Because the Holy Spirit, although he is gentle and kind, he's also all-powerful. Right, excellent. Father, I want to thank you, sorry, for Brian. Thank you, Lord, for Brian. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now I'm wanting to get something from God. All right? Wanted to get some from God. Brian, I feel the Lord wants to speak to you about promotion in the Spirit. I feel like it's been a season where, it's almost been like you've been a bit like David, actually, out in the wilderness doing the stuff, looking after some sheep, having to make sure things are just kind of all sorted. And it's been a sense in which it's been a forgottenness. And it's been a season of forgottenness for you. But the Lord's bringing you into a new place today. And God's going to bring you into a place of favor. And I believe this thing of David being anointed in the midst of his brothers is for you. God says to you today, you're being his favor coming upon you. Just carry on receiving this, Father. There is favor coming upon you. And the Lord would want to say to you today, son, you've done well with what I've given you. And the well done of heaven is on you. And right now, I believe the Lord wants to speak to you concerning promotion, concerning coming out of the wilderness. God wants to say to you, son, I'm bringing you into a place of incredible favor. I just want you to continue to receive. Just continue to receive. Can you see how the atmosphere is just changing in this room? This is the moment that we look for in the prophetic, where God's heart is revealed. It's not about how well or how articulate you are in the prophetic. It's about getting his heart. God is ministering to this gentleman his heart right now. And some of you, some of the things I just said to him actually make sense to you. You feel like you've been in a place of forgottenness. There's grace right now for you to receive. Just receive where you're sitting. There is grace for you to come out of a place of forgottenness and brokenness right now. So the Holy Spirit just begins to hover over this place and his power begins to fall. Some of you are being broken out of seasons that have held you for a long time. Seasons of disappointment that have held you for a long time. It's breaking off of you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All across this place, some of you have felt like the promises that you had received prophetically are no longer valid. And the Lord says it's a lie from the enemy, that the prophetic promises he's spoken over you will come to pass. Just allow God to touch you. All across this place. If you know that you want, you quickly stand to your feet. You know God's beginning to touch you. Just quickly stand to your feet. Look at that. The Spirit of God is just upon many. Now right now, just begin to receive. Father, today we break people out of a season of forgottenness and hurt. A season where the enemy has felt and camped around them. A season where it just felt like they've had to kill one lion after another, a bear after another, and it just seems like you've never got the breakthrough. Well, the Lord says to you today, I'm calling you from the desert place. I'm calling you from the wilderness, and I'm bringing you into a place of being anointed in the midst of your brothers. And so right now, I release the anointing of God upon people right now in Jesus' name. Cool, right now. Just receive. Just receive. Pete, the Lord says to you today that you're coming out of a cave. I believe the Lord wants you to know it's like there's been a disappointment concerning ministry and even going full time. You thought it would have happened sooner. But the Lord says to you today, son, my timing is perfect. And I want you to know my call is on you. And there is a day coming sooner than you think where you'll be raised up as one who would lead with great grace and authority. God says, I've not overlooked you or forgotten you. Come, Holy Spirit. Fresh anointing. Guys, this is what we look for. The presence of God. Presence of God. If you're receiving, you can carry on receiving. For the rest of you, when you're praying a moment some more, I just want to carry on with our example. If you can just be seated. If you are receiving, continue. Don't worry. If God's meeting with you, go ahead. Don't worry. I just feel for you, my brother, that this thing of emigration is on God's agenda. I'm going to start moving into a word of wisdom now. How do we apply what God's done? How do we apply the sense of God's heart being revealed now? And I feel the Lord wants to say to you, I'm going to begin to direct your footsteps in an incredible way. I see some connections, all right? I see even business connections and business bridges being built. And I see the Lord saying to you, I'm going to bring you across the paths of people who would begin to make a way easier for you. And I believe the Lord wants to say to you, it's part of his purpose and part of his plan that you would go. And he's going to cause you to be planted in the right place at the right time. And come Holy Spirit. I don't know why I get this. Okay, I'm not saying this is where you're going to go. But I'm tasting in my mouth like maple syrup. All right. And it's like maple syrup. I'm not quite sure where you're going, but I just feel God saying to you, it's going to be a place of sweetness. It's going to be a place of sweetness. And God says, I want you to trust me. Word of wisdom, I want you to trust me. I want you to walk close with me. I want you to be in a place of submission to those who guide you, because I'm going to launch you into a place of incredible power and authority wherever you land. God's anointing is just coming upon you. I feel God wants you to also say that I will guide you and your family in this season. It's not just going to be about you. It can be about you and your family. The power of God just rests on you right now. In Jesus' name. Let fire begin to fall upon this man right now. In Jesus' name. Whoa. Come Holy Spirit. It's as easy as that. God's here, folks. God is here. Can I encourage you? You don't have to always step out in that way. It doesn't always have to be those three together. God's sometimes going to reveal his heart before he brings a word of knowledge. The point is, of that exercise, is I wanted to demonstrate how to step out. It's not always easy. I did feel kind of like, whoa, how does this work? But it's about stepping out. When you do, God comes. Can you see how the atmosphere, the presence of God has just come in this place simply because of a step of faith? When I brought that word of knowledge, I wasn't feeling anything spectacular. I just simply stepped out on an impression that God was giving me. All right? I want to encourage you. God is here right now. He wants to meet with some of you in a very powerful way. I want to pray firstly, before we move on, for people who struggle to receive revelation from God. When you read the Bible, it's like you just fall asleep. You don't know why. You can read any other book, but when you read the Bible, you fall asleep. Okay, and many of you be like that. And reading the Word and receiving revelation are connected. You can't do the one without the other. You need to receive revelation in order to read the Word, and you need to read the Word in order to receive revelation by the Spirit. And so for some of you, you felt in a bondage to reading the Bible. It's really hard for you. You can read the book of John and nothing seems to happen. All right? That's not a normal Christian life. You're not to settle for that. And so I want to pray for people who struggle to receive revelation. If I can ask you just to stand to your feet, if that's you. Stand to your feet. There'll be many of you. Yeah, thank you. Now, I'm going to break something over you, all right? I also want to pray in this prayer for folks who have been to fortune tellers or have been into reading your star signs. And as a result, you find it really hard to receive guidance from God. You find it really hard to receive guidance. So when you're spending time saying, Lord, won't you speak to me about my future, you get nothing. If actually, won't you stand quickly? Thank you. So one of the things that being exposed to those kinds of things is that it tends to block off the authentic revelation from God. And so right now, God's going to begin to bring some deliverance and healing to many of you. God's going to lift a veil that's being over you. Some of you feel like you've got a veil over you. Just revelation so difficult. God's going to lift that off of you right now. So can I ask the rest of you, won't you begin to pray in the Spirit? Let's begin to join together, let's partner in faith together with God's sovereignty in this matter, that there will be a breakthrough that will come right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence in this place. We love what you're doing. And right now, I speak to these men and women who have struggled to receive revelation and guidance and a flow of the prophetic for a long time, who struggle to receive revelation from your words, who struggle to receive revelation by your spirit. And in Jesus' name, I lift off the veil now, in Jesus' name. I command every work of the enemy, every mind-blinding spirit that has held people from receiving revelation to go and to lift off right now, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the anointing that comes across this place right now to bring a release of your anointing and your power in the name of Jesus. Now receive fresh, fresh. Now I speak a spirit of wisdom and of revelation over you, that you would receive incredible favor in the knowledge of Jesus Christ right now in Jesus' name. Some of you are going to feel like a burden just lift off of your shoulder right now. There it goes. Right now in Jesus' name. I break the enemy's purposes and plans in the area of fortune telling and witchcraft. Every counterfeit experience that anyone has had, I break it right now in Jesus' name. I set people free right now in Jesus' name. I set people free right now in Jesus' name. Right now in the name of Jesus. Whoa. Freedom right now. Freedom right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There is somebody, I think you're sitting in this section over here. Okay, so this section over here. I feel like you've had to go for some kind of medical examination just recently. And there's been a fear that's been associated with that. If actually, why don't you quickly come to the front? Is that you, sir? Excellent. Thank you. Why don't you just, you can just stand right over there. Why don't you lift up your hands? The power of God's just going to come upon you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the fear that's been associated with this medical examination. I break the fear of cancer and disease now. In Jesus' name, I speak to blood. I say, be restored. Speak to heart. I say, be restored. I speak to this body. I say, in Jesus' name, be restored. So I can see the power of God just resting on you like a thick, it's almost like a thick honey that's just being poured out over you. You're just going to sense His presence come right now. In Jesus' name, there it goes through your body. Fresh anointing and power. Fresh anointing and power. God, we ask you for the honey of heaven to come right now. In Jesus' name. I break any fear. Sir, the Lord wants you to know that you can trust Him with this. You can trust Him with this. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your anointing that comes. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Right in the kind of middle section over here. So this kind of middle section over here, I see somebody who just recently, it's like you were in your room and you just sensed an overwhelming darkness envelop you. And it's almost like there was a spirit of death and you just felt almost suffocated by it. You're somewhere in the middle over here. The Lord wants to set you free from that. If actually you want you quickly stand to your feet, God's going to set you free. Excellent. So lift up your hands, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I break right now that thing of death right now in Jesus' name. I just see God is going to begin to release off of you like a dominating thinking pattern that is trying to bring in a spirit of death right now. In Jesus' name, I break it right now. So the power of God is just going to run through your body. It's going to be like a fire. It's just going to go right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, cause the fire of heaven to flow through him right now. We lift off that fear of death. We command every demonic force that's been assigned to this man to lift off their influence now, in Jesus' name. And we speak a freedom to that man in his thinking. Speak a freedom in his heart right now. And we say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somewhere in the first four rows over here, you've been having some kind of joint problem. I think it's with your ankle. I don't know if it's got to do with kind of like a pain in your ankles. I just see joints and I see pain. I think it's got to do with your feet specifically. And I think you're in the four rows over here. If they could quickly lift up your hands. Thank you. Two of you, stand up. Both of you, stand up. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we command these ankles, these feet right now to be healed right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for an anointing that comes right now in Jesus' name to bring incredible healing and life and deliverance right now from pain. Ankles, we command you to come into line right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we command life to flow right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sir, God is on you in the crowd. Is that your wife next door to you? Won't you both stand? Just feel the Lord's giving me a prophetic word for you both. God's hand is on you. I feel like the Lord wants you to know you're not in leadership by accident. All right? I just feel like there's even been some disappointments that you've had a walk through in the area of leadership, been disappointments that you've had a walk through in the area of church life. But God has put his hand upon you because you're going to be a couple of incredible influence. You're going to be a couple who are going to demonstrate God's heart in a very powerful way. And right now, I feel like God wants to lift up a ceiling of limitation that you find yourself under. And God's going to bring you into a new place of being able to flow in gifting. My sister, there's actually a real prophetic call on you. It's like a latent gift. You can walk into a place and you just know what's going on. You can feel that you're a really good judge of character. Okay, you have an ability to suss people out and know where they are. And God's saying that's God. And it's prophetic. And you can begin to flow in that because actually there's going to be a real coupling of gifting between you and your husband that's really going to demonstrate something of God's favor to many people, right? My friend, you're a man who's very, very weighed and careful, and I see like a big drawing board, and I see you making sure everything's in the right order. And God's saying, I want to mess your order up because I want to give you faith. God's going to teach you about faith in these days, and there's going to be a release of incredible anointing right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there somebody in the building today with a name? This is what I'm just hearing, a Francois, something like France, something like that. Is there anyone with a name like Francois or France, something like that? Yeah, right now. Is that you? Francis. Okay, cool. Thank you. Sometimes you don't get the word right because you can just kind of hear things. I'm trying to hear what God's saying. God's just going to minister to you in a very special way, my sister. The Lord wants you to know that you're an integral part of what he's doing in these days. And that like Anna, your eyes won't fall asleep until you see revival. And I don't believe it's just about the church. It's about your family specifically. It's about family members that you've been praying for many years. Father wants you to know you will see your children's children rise and call you blessed. And you can know today that I see a particular strong person, very strong willed. I don't know if it's a son or something like that. But I just see just someone who's very strong in their personality. God's working on them. And you've been praying specifically and regularly. And God's saying, I've heard the prayers of you. And I just feel like you're going to be a real powerhouse. In fact, I believe you're going to be very sharply prophetic in these days. You're going to see some things, feel some things out of your prayer time. It's going to help the church do what God's called it to do. So God's saying, you can know today your eyes won't fall asleep until you see the first fruits of revival. And so, Father, we release that right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless her, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful? You sense this faith in the room right now? This faith. And that's what happens when the prophetic and words of knowledge begin to flow. People are going, whoa, God is here. What I want to do in a moment is do some impartation now, where we're going to release something of these gifts, because I believe gifts come to us through an impartation, all right? But before I do, I feel like I've just got one or two more words of knowledge for healing. And I want to pray for somebody, and I'm not quite sure. I think you might be in this part of the building. I'm not quite sure. And I just feel like inappropriate. It's like you have a kind of skin problem that it's like a kind of fungal skin problem. It affects certain parts of your body. And, okay, why don't you stand? There's someone over there, clear. Okay, right. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to these skin problems. We command healing to flow right now in Jesus' name. We thank you that the skin comes in line with the Word of God. We command order and restoration to skin cells right now. We speak to any infection, fungal disease. We command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. And now we release your anointing and your power to bring healing right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is somebody, I think you're in this section, right across the section. You have a problem with the swallowing mechanism of your throat. And it just affects what you have to eat. And there's a lot of pain sometimes. I don't know if it's like a reflux problem, but I just see the problem of swallowing. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone. In fact, why don't you quickly stand to your feet? Is that you? Excellent. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to these disorders. We command healing to flow right through the digestive system right now. In Jesus' name, I take authority over it. I command it to go now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for healing that comes right now in Jesus' name. We release your anointing right now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. This is going to be a weird one, and I've not probably brought a word of knowledge like this. But I feel there's somebody here in 1989 to hear that something significant happened for you, and I think it's got to do with a severe loss of some sort that you experienced. And there's been like a cloud of grief over you since then. And that year, 1989, I think it's about summertime, something happened in your life that caused you to be just distraught. And it's like you've carried a residue of grief since then. I believe the Lord wants to just minister freedom to you. I don't think I've ever brought a date like that, so I might be completely off the wall, but I'm going to step out anyway. And say, if that's you, won't you quit? Is that you, ma'am? Thank you. Do you want to just come out to the front and back to the right, my sister? Thank you, Lord. So you can come out too, because God wants to just obviously. I felt it was a lady, but I'd love to pray for you anyway. Thank you, Lord. What's your name?
Carol.
Father, I thank you for Carol. Charlene, why don't you come help me, please? Father, I thank you. Just to say, Charlene's a friend of mine who's quite prophetic, had done some ministry with me lots before. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your anointing that begins to flow. Believe the Lord wants to speak to you so tenderly and say to you that it's like there was such separation, deep separation. And the Lord wants to say to you today, I'm coming to you to restore some things that were stolen and taken from you. And there is grace for you this morning. And God is going to lift off of you a sense of despair. And often, I even see some photos lying around in your house that you look at and it's like pain just grabs a hold of your heart. God's setting you free from that residue of grief, because weeping is meant to last for a night only. And joy comes in the morning. And right now, there's going to be a release of his joy and purpose right now. In the name of Jesus, I release your glory. There it goes through you right now. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. So let's pray for you. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you for Raymond. I want to thank you for what you do in his heart. Lord God, I want to break, Lord Jesus, the grief that's been associated, particularly with 1989. I want to ask you for a sense of joy and life that begins to flow right now. In the name of Jesus, I release a new season over both these folk right now in the name of Jesus. So the power of God, she's going to hit you like a lightning bolt right now in Jesus' name. A new season right now for my brother in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God wonderful? We're going to do some impartation right now. But what I want to do specifically is I really want to pray for elders and their wives. So you're in senior leadership, elders and your wives.